open your eyes and see a light once hidden behind darkness. You see a peace in the serenity. I see a training for the trial, the enabling of God. You see a storm, waves of hardship that threaten to overtake you. I see an opportunity for boldness, the strength of God. You see mistakes and failures, baggage and pain. I see influence, a moment to live courageously and overcome. Listen, focus. A light lies hidden beneath the darkness. See the things unseen through the eyes of a lion.
You know, I don't know anyone that enjoys being in the dark. Some of us feel pretty uncomfortable right now. Or this is a little too descriptive of how we feel in life. We're in the dark. We're in a dark place. We hate it. We wish it wasn't so. And yet it just happens to be our reality right now. We saw last week that while we struggle to see forward in really dark conditions, not so with a lion. As a matter of fact, if you were looking through the eyes of a lion right now, this is likely what you'd see. What you see right now, that's how a lion sees what's on the menu tonight. Guys, let's go ahead and bring the lights back up. Today, I really want you to be able to learn to see better in the dark. To see better in the dark. We're in week two of a series called Through the Eyes of a Lion. It's a metaphor we've been using for being able to see life through the lens of faith. And what all of us know, and this is true of my life as well, is that some of the times that it's hardest to see forward in faith is when you fumble around in the midst of pain, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a trial in life. And yet we know, like we just saw, a lion can see 6 to 8 times better in the dark than we can. And that's simply because of how his eyes are designed and some things that we can learn. Now, just some review from last week. You know, your eyesight is simply the ability of you taking in light and processing it, just like a camera. For example, you know, remember your eye, light comes through the cornea, the outer, you know, lens of the eye. It goes through the pupil, then it goes to a lens that actually focuses the light to the back of your eye called the retina, where there's millions of rods and cones which then send the information through the optic nerve to your brain for real-time processing. That's how you see. It's crazy complex, but all I really wanted you to know is that your eye is simply taking in light and processing it, and that's how you see. And a lion's eyes are just crazy optimized to do that better than ours. I mean, again, we saw from last week that a lion's eyes, their pupils can expand 3 times bigger than ours to let in more light. The back of their retinas have more cones to absorb more light. Then they have this white strip under their eyes, which operates the exact opposite of kind of eye black that football players and baseball players wear. This actually allows light to bounce off that eye strip and actually more of it to go in their eye. And then we also saw they have a reflective lens inside their eye that we don't have. And that's why when you see a lion in the dark, his eyes are always glowing and it's kind of freaky. And some of you want to do that, you know, to people around you just to scare them. And so I thought I'd help you. This past week, I found a website called spookyeyes.com. It's serious, this is real. You can actually get glow-in-the-dark contact lenses and you can put them on and you can freak everybody out, okay? The sad thing is some of you are gonna do that. And I don't know what to say about that. But really, I truly believe God gave us this vision of how a lion sees as a way to help us with how faith works. Really, it's a great example of how faith works. I mean, think about this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. Did you know that? And then Jesus in John 8, 12, again, a verse we looked at last week, Jesus said this about himself. He said, I'm the light of the world. It's me who provides light into your life. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I mean, it's an amazing verse of how we can see further. We looked at it last week a little bit. Now, here's the tough part of this verse to me, and maybe it is to you as well. It says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The struggle and what's tough is that even if you're a follower of Jesus here, every single one of us has had times in our life where it's been dark. It could have been from the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a dream, the loss of a marriage or a relationship, struggles with our kids, with a family member. Some of us struggle with anxiety and depression, and it's like a dark cloud just hovers over our lives kind of all the time. And so it's like, man, I should never walk in darkness? Isn't it true that in the midst of pain, it's hard to see forward in faith? It's almost as if in the midst of pain, the lens of faith that we should have kind of gets miscalculated. The year was 1990. NASA was just getting ready to launch a 20-year dream. For 20 years, they'd worked on the most technologically advanced telescope ever invented. It was going to launch into low Earth orbit. It was going to be able to circle the Earth every 97 minutes and take the most vivid and clear pictures of our galaxy and universe people had ever seen before. The project was called Hubble, the Hubble telescope. And so it was a 20 years it took to develop this. It cost $4.7 billion to make. And NASA justified the expense because if we take pictures of our galaxy from Earth, we have to take them through our atmosphere, which we learned last week has particles and shifting gases. And so it's kind of like taking a picture through a dirty, stained glass. NASA knew if we could get outside the atmosphere, outside the fog, we'd be able to take pictures of our galaxy like people had never seen before. So they launched Hubble. It got up into space, and Hubble started transmitting back to Earth for the very first time, the very first pictures. So you had all these scientists huddled around a computer screen. They're nerding out, right? And they're just there. The problem is it was 1990, and it was only dial-up internet. You remember this? The days of AOL, very, very slow, all right? My kids complain about internet speeds. I'm like, I'll take you back to 1990. See how you like that, right? Someone picks up the phone. Oh, done. The internet's out, right? I mean, remember this? Yeah, you're like, some of you are like, what's that? Wait, ask your parents. But so, you know, the first images start coming in, like line by line, and it finally comes in. And what should have been the most clear image in the world is a blurry mess. It's completely blurry. And they begin to diagnose what happened, and what they find after all this research is that the company that designed and produced the primary optical component that went on Hubble had a miscalculation. They sent a $4.7 billion camera into space, and sure, it went around the Earth, great. It can't even take a picture of what it's supposed to do. It was diagnosed as being nearsighted. Right, that's what Hubble was. And here's the problem. It was too expensive to bring Hubble back home to fix it. They couldn't go up and fix the lens in orbit. So they didn't know what to do, but you know, it's a bunch of Einsteins at NASA, so they always come up with great solutions. So one guy came up with a great solution. He said, what if we create a new lens? We fly this lens up into space. We put the new lens on top of the old lens, and it cancels out the error, and then Hubble can see 20/20. So that's exactly what they did. They basically flew a multi-million dollar contact lens and put it on Hubble. And it worked. And for the very first time, pictures that looked like this is the original pictures that would come back all blurry and mess, nothing, all of a sudden looked like this. And we saw our galaxy for the very first time. Now think about this. When Hubble wasn't seeing clearly, was it the galaxy's fault? No. It just had a bad lens. And what I want to suggest for just the little bit of time that we have together today is that if we're going to see through the eyes of a lion, maybe some of us need a new lens that we can put on to view pain and suffering in our life. There's something I heard Levi Lesko say. I want it to be kind of our big idea today. If you're taking notes, it's this. He gives a great view how to look at pain. He says this, pain doesn't have to be an obstacle. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, it can be an opportunity for God to use you like never before. That's a different lens for pain, isn't it? So what I want to do is I want to look at a passage of scripture today, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a great guide for putting on a new lens to look at pain. It's where we'll find ourselves the majority of today, if you want to open there. It's the Apostle Paul who writes this. And I want to look at three principles I think he gives us that give us a new lens. It's a brand new lens, and it'll be a struggle for some of us, but I believe these are true. Here's principle number one. Pain has the potential to push us closer to God than ever before. Now think about this. When you get in a dark situation, do you know what your pupils automatically do, and you don't even have to tell them to do this? They open up wide. Why? Because your eye is starving for light. It wants more light. And the same thing can happen in the midst of pain. You can be open to God moving and speaking into your life. Let's pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul, who went through more pain than arguably anybody outside of Jesus, he says this. He says, it started when God said, light up the darkness. Now, what do you mean, what started, Paul? Well, Paul's quoting Genesis chapter 1 when God said, let there be light, but he's actually referring to his own conversion experience. See, what happened in Paul's life is Paul was living a very dark life. He was actually persecuting Christians, and we know from Acts chapter 9 that he's on a road to Damascus, and a bright light shines down in Paul's life for the very first time, and he finally sees who Jesus is, but it took him being in this darkness for the light to shine so brightly in his life. And so he goes on to say this. He says, and our lives, listen to this, our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ. I mean, I understood Jesus for the very first time. You know what, for some of us, we would admit today, if you were just being honest, some of us, the only reason we came back to church and we found Jesus or we were baptized, it's because, if we went back and thought about it, it's because we were in a pretty dark spot. We wanted something more. We wanted some different light. Some of you are here today, and you were invited by someone, and that's incredible. I'm so glad you're here. And you may not be a follower of Jesus, and the reason you're here, if you're honest, is you're searching that maybe there's something more to life than what you're experiencing right now. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world, and it's just honestly how God works oftentimes. Now, so can pain push you closer to God than ever before? Of course it can. Then why doesn't it for so many people? You know why? Because when you get in a dark situation, if you don't move, your eyes adjust to the dark. And your eyes begin to get used to the dark. And so you have a decision. It's always a choice. Am I going to sit in the darkness that I'm in, or am I going to seek light, seek something else? And it's always your choice. That's why as we go through these, I'll always say it has the potential. It's up to you. But pain just doesn't have the potential to push you closer to God. Here's the second thing pain can do. Pain has the potential to point out adjustments we need to make in life. Does anybody else hate going to the eye doctor when they dilate your eyes? Is it just me? I hate that. I used to think maybe it was like a sick joke. Like maybe they dilate your eyes, they take pictures, they go in the back office and they just laugh at us because our pupils are dilated. I don't know. But do you know why they dilate your eyes? Think about this. They dilate your eyes because then it opens up your eyes so they can see to the back of your eye, to your retina, and diagnose anything early that might be an issue in your eyes. Pain does the exact same thing. Pain can be an indicator that we need to look at something in our life before it gets out of control, before it gets out of hand. Ephesians 1:18 says this, I pray, Paul says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you will understand the confident hope he's given to those he's called. I mean, pain can open our hearts. Yet we have to admit that oftentimes we are so closed-minded. Our hearts are closed. We are so stubborn at times to God getting our attention in an area of our life. I love this quote. It says, nothing happens until the pain of remaining the same outweighs the pain of change. And many of us would have to admit that is true. It took some pain to move us. I mean, think about just physically your own life. Do you understand if you never felt pain in your body, you'd never know something was wrong with your body? There's actually an ailment of people, very rare, where they can't feel pain at all. And you know what their parents wish? They have kids like that. The only thing they wish for their kids is they could feel pain. Because oftentimes when we feel pain, some of you took pain, you went to a doctor, and he found something early that would have killed you otherwise. Some of us eat right or we exercise, and the honest reason is because we went to the doctor and he said, either make a change or you're going to die. And so we did, and we knew we should have been doing it before. In my own life, for many, many years, I struggled with stomach pain. I just kind of, my stomach would hurt on occasion and just be weird. And you know what I did about it? Nothing. I was like the typical man. I was like, I'm just going to tough it out. You know, no big deal. Until I got married. You wives, you know. My wife, she's like, something's not right. That's not even normal. I'm making you a doctor's appointment. So she made the appointment. She made me go. And after a few tests, you know what I found out? I'm extremely allergic to dairy. And so I made one adjustment. I cut dairy out of my diet completely. Now, listen, if you're a dairy farmer, that's nothing against your industry, okay? You dairy away, all right? This is just me, all right? But I made one adjustment, and it changed my life. I mean, I have more energy. I used to have terrible allergies. I have zero allergies since I cut dairy out of my diet. Why did I wait so long? Because I'm stubborn, and I'm hard-hearted, just like anyone. Pain. You should never ignore pain in your life. I mean, think about it. If you're in financial stress right now, could it be an indication that you are putting your hope in material things versus God? Or think about this. What if you're stressed at work? I mean, work's just not going well, and you're just all, you know, bent out of shape about it. Could it be that it's an indicator that your identity is found in your work, not who God says who you are? Here's a big one. Marital pain. Do not ignore that. It could be an indication that something needs to change, and it's not your spouse. Don't elbow them. It could be you that needs to change, but you just can't ignore pain. Spiritually, do not ignore pain in your life. Some of you are one step, one change away from your life changing forever. I met a couple a couple weeks ago, and they were struggling in their marriage. And as they began to describe what was going on, I knew exactly what they needed. They needed to be in a small group with other godly married couples that could pour into their lives. They made that one step, and they would say it's changed their life forever. I wonder what step you're fighting taking. See, pain can dilate our eyes and let God inform us of some things that we need to do differently. The only question is, how long are you willing to deal with the pain before you make a change? Now, this is also just for free. Okay, I'm just giving you a freebie here. Do you know the other times your eyes dilate? When you're actually interested or attracted to someone else. Did you know that? Scientifically, all scientific studies prove that your eyes dilate when you're attracted to someone else. So this is what your eyes may look like if I just see you or I'm into you. Okay? So if you're single and you're on a date, look really close into their eyes. And if you see them dilate, like, no, play it cool, man. You got to play it cool, okay? Don't get too excited. And again, I just want to speak to the ladies for a second. And I'm only saying this because I care about you. If you're looking into his eyes and you see anything that looks like this, just run, like run, okay? That's not a good sign. Come back with me. Pain has the ability and potential to push you closer to God than ever before. Pain has the potential to point out adjustments you really do need to make. But here's the third thing, and this, I believe this is probably the hardest for most of us to accept. Pain has the potential to be the greatest platform God uses in your life. Nobody wishes that. Nobody wants that. And yet we have to admit, even looking at other people and the way God's using their life, this is true. I mean, even in the book of James, James says this, James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. What? Why would I count it pure joy? And he goes on to say, because pain oftentimes develops perseverance, and perseverance, God can use that perseverance and what he did in your life as a platform for God to use you like never before. Are you okay if God wants to use your pain to do something great in this world for him? That's tough, isn't it? And yet we have to be able to look at pain potentially through a different lens as Scripture speaks into our life. Again, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul, who again had so much pain in his life, listen to what he says. Paul says, we're not giving up. Hey, in the midst of my pain, I'm not giving up. How could I? He says, how could we? He goes on to say this, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God's making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Here's what Paul's saying. It may look like things are falling apart on the outside with me, but inside I am strong in Christ. How can Paul say that? He even goes on to say this. These hard times are small potatoes. It's a Message translation. But it's so good. But here's what we would say. Well, mine aren't. That's great for you, Paul, but mine aren't small potatoes. And we could argue with Paul, yours aren't either, buddy. Your life was like one big bad day. I mean, Paul preaches, gets thrown in jail, preaches, he gets stoned, preaches, he gets beaten up, preaches, has to be let down through a wall in a basket just to keep from being killed. He preaches. Then he gets thrown on a ship, shipwrecked on an island all alone. He gets bit by a snake. You don't believe me? Go read the book of Acts. That's exactly what happened. Hey, Paul, how could you say your troubles are small potatoes? Because Paul's eyes have been dilated by faith. And he's not looking at just what's in front of him. Paul's looking further at what God is doing in and through him. So he can go on to say this. Compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us, compared to eternity, there's far more here than meets the eye. Think about this. What if Paul knew this? What if Paul knew 2,000 years later, after he described his troubles and his faith in God, what if he knew that 2,000 years later, in a room in Phoenix, Arizona, in a church called Christ Church of the Valley, one man or one woman sitting here right now would get out of their funk and start living the life that God always intended for them only because of what he went through? By the way, that's exactly what could be happening right now. See, Paul saw life through a different lens. It's why he went on to say this. It was a verse we looked at last week. So we fix our eyes not on what? Not on what's seen. We fix our eyes on what's unseen, because what's seen, what you see right here, that's temporary. What you can't see, that's the eternal. Some of us need to be reminded, pain does not have to be an obstacle. It can actually be an opportunity for God to use you like never before. But I want you to hear the real life story of a family in our church that I know that has gone through unspeakable pain, and God has used it to do incredible things. Watch this.
I remember when it first happened, when she got admitted to the hospital. I'm standing in the hallway and my brother-in-law comes up and says, how you doing? What are you gonna do? And I looked at him and I says, there's only one person that can fix this. I said, it's God. And I have to give it up to him. That was a hard thing for me, was knowing he could do it, but what if he doesn't heal her?
Africa, named after our daughter.
This reminds me of when she stepped into heaven. Looking back, it just hurts. It hurts a lot. You get scared. You lose all strength you got. And it was just like getting hit by a truck.
Why, God? Why did it have to end like that? Why didn't we get the miracle here? I mean, in my book, that would have been a much greater story, God, but in your book, that was your will. During this time, my mom had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I remember sitting in church. This was after Katie had passed. And I'm sitting in church, and the song was I Surrender All. I sat there with my palms up, and I opened my mouth, and the words would not come out because I knew that sometimes God's will is hard, sometimes his will hurts, and I knew that if I say I surrender all and he takes my mom, I wasn't ready for that. I already gave you Katie. I can't give you my mom now. And I'm looking around at other people that are singing it as if them saying I surrender all is going to cost them nothing. And here I was trying to say it with all of my will, and it would not come out. I went home and I prayed through it and I cried through it. And God brought me to that point where I could say, God, I surrender all. I give you all. I give you all of it. And I know that you are good.
Through it all, you just have to stay faithful to God and realize that there's something bigger than going to your 16th birthday party. Psalm 73:26, and it's, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever.
I was there. I was there in that darkness where I did not see God. I could not feel God. I felt like he could not hear me. And God uses those moments to draw us to him. That's why we have these things happening, because it has to increase our faith. We have two choices. We can run the other way and run away from him, or we can press in and run to him with all that we have. And you have to keep the faith, and you have to keep persevering, going forward one breath at a time. And then we have to use those moments to try to help other people. And I came to the conclusion finally of faith is knowing that he's able, but also knowing that he's good even if he chooses not to.
We have no idea how many people came to know the Lord through her illness. We do know there's a lot. At her service, 45 people got baptized. And her little brother was the very first one to be baptized. If it wasn't for our belief in Christ, we'd be a big wreck.
Here we are, 4.5 years later, and we have joy again, we have smiles again. We miss her every single day, and we think about her all the time. But we have seen so many blessings and ways that God is still following us, still ahead of us, still guiding us, and it's okay. Faith over fear.
For some reason, the Lord chose Katie to get through to a lot of kids and adults. When you realize that you've been chosen by God to take on such a task, to this day, I feel very privileged.
Yeah, God. When you can hear a dad make a comment like that, and I've been around the Wagners, that's only because they begin to see life through the eyes of a lion, to see further. But you understand from their story, it wasn't always that way. During some of the times, Katie's mom said, there was a time I was in the darkness and I couldn't see God. I was like, God, where are you? And that's where some of you are today. You just can't see God. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation where God just isn't present? Here's what you do, I believe. With pain, you have to learn to do a double take. You have to learn to do a double take. You know, you look at something, and then you kind of shake your eyes, and you do a double take. You have to look at it again. Now, here's what I mean. Did you know the way a lion's eyes are designed? Again, going back to that reflective layer inside their eyes that ours, we don't have that. When you get in the dark or you get in low light conditions, light comes into your eyes and the majority of the light escapes back out. with the lion's eyes, their light, the light goes in their eyes. Remember, they have more cones in their retina, so it absorbs. But even the light that's escaping out of a lion's eyes, it bounces off that reflective lens back into their eyes so they can see further. So in a way, you could say this, a lion's eyes do a double take. And that's exactly what you have to do with pain. You cannot rely on just what you see in front of you. So how do you do a double take with pain? Well, let me give you a couple suggestions. One is you have to be able to look back on your life on any season where God was faithful to you, no matter how small it was. You have to look back and remember this past Sunday, right after church, I got home and we have a fire pit in our backyard and it was on and it was flaming hot. I'm talking, it was red hot. And my middle daughter went and barehanded, accidentally, she touched. And it burned her fingers so bad. She got second-degree burns, and she came inside, and we began to treat her. And if you've ever been burned, it just hurts so bad, and it doesn't go away. And so I'm just holding her in my arms, and she's sitting there, and I'm holding her, and the only thing I could think to do was to tell her, hey, do you know all the other times in life that you've been hurt, God's always taken care of you. Now, when I told her that, did it take away the pain? No. But you can have hope for your future in the midst of pain. Some of you are like, well, that's a great story, but my life's over. I mean, it's just too deep. I can't see God. There's nothing I can see that God could do good from what I'm going through right now. No. You do a double take, remember? You get back into scripture. You let God's word illuminate your life, not your limited understanding. You go to a verse like Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that in all things, which is all things means that's exactly anything you're going through right now. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God can work good in your life if you will let him. You're like, no. You don't understand, Ashley. The divorce, the loss of my job, the loss of a dream, with my kids, what's going on? It's done. I'm over. No, you turn to a verse like Jeremiah 29:11, which says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for what? To prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, this is why it's so big on letting God's word illuminate your future, not your limited understanding. What many of us need to do, and you need to write this down, you need to tweet it, you need to do whatever you can to let it sink in. Here's what you do. Don't let your circumstances shape the character of God. Do not let what you're going through be a reflection of like, oh, that's who God is. I mean, your view of God will change every day. No, here's what you do. Allow God's character to shape your circumstances. You allow the fact that we have a good God who cares about you, who loves you, that knows your name, and he can take you through and see you through anything that you're going through. Think about it this way. If all you see is what's wrong, if that's all that your eyes can see, you'll always miss seeing what God can make right. And here's what some of you are thinking. What does he know? He's a pastor. He's probably had a pain-free life. And I wish that was true. I've had more pain than probably I would like to describe. I mean, I remember just the pain of my parents' divorce. I remember the pain of some things coming out in our family that have just marked me so deeply. But what's held me together through it all is being able to see life through the promises of God's word. Others of us are thinking this is a great message. It's really, really good, but it doesn't really apply to me because I'm not really going through anything tough right now. And if you think that, I beg to differ. There's only two people in the room today. You're either in a trial or you're training for one. Do not miss that. So that's why you should never, ever walk out of church and say something like this. I didn't really get anything out of church today. Really? I mean, with all due respect, what if that's exactly what God spoke into your life? And you know, gosh, so what if you didn't get goosebumps or, you know, the fuzzies when you were here? I mean, is that your measure that God spoke to you? No, you let God speak to you in season and out of season. You always keep your eyes open. This may be exactly what God wants you to hear right now. But listen, if you right now are in the midst of pain, and I know some of you, your heart It hurts right now. I mean, there have been tears in your eyes because you're going through something that is unexplainable, and it's just tough. And I want to tell you this. Listen carefully. It is okay to ask God why. God does not shy away. If you look at God and say, God, why? You ask God why all day long. I did a message a couple years ago, one of my favorite messages I've done, on why would a God, good God allow bad things to happen to good people. I mean, you can go back and watch that. Don't shy away from asking why, but don't let it keep you from focusing on who. Because God has the ability of changing your lens to help you see through the eyes of a lion, to see that in the midst of your pain, maybe God wants to bring you closer than ever before. Maybe God wants to point out some adjustments that you need to make in life. Or maybe, third, God is going to tell you that this pain is going to be a platform that he uses not only in your life, but as the Wagner's story proves, it's something that God can use in thousands of people's lives. I know for a fact there are hundreds of people in heaven today simply because of Katie's story. So here's the takeaway today. I want to ask you, which principle is God telling you you need to accept and kind of anchor on today? One of those three. And to help you do that, here's what I'm going to ask every single one of us to do. Memorize one verse this week that will change your lens on pain. I'm going to give you two suggestions. You can pick one of these. You can do another one if you want to. But here's two suggestions. I think Romans 8:28, which we already read, this could be a verse that proves to you that God can do good in any situation. He truly can. Or Jeremiah 29:11, which is God promising there can be a hope for your future no matter what you're going through if you will turn and rely on him. Now, to help you kind of memorize these, our team has done this. We've created some wallpaper that you can download on our app or on our website that has kind of a picture of a lion in the background. It has each of these verses on it. You can download those, and that's what I'm going to do and our family's going to do, so we can keep that in front of you all week so you can memorize God's word. When you let God's word in your life, remember, it can allow you to see further. And so I'm going to pray right now that God allows you to do this and let his word sink into your life so you can truly see through the eyes of a lion. Let's pray together. Father, I know that there's many here today that are going through unspeakable pain. Some of them feel like it's trivial, maybe. Some of them it's deep. But whatever they're going through, I just pray that you today would give us a new lens in how we can look at pain, that we don't sit in the darkness and sit there and not move. That's the worst thing we could do. But we begin to invite your light into our life so that you can illuminate our way. Your word, God, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And today, I pray that every single one of us would be able to memorize one of these verses and to focus on it this week, so that we can see further, even in the dark. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.